Well, there's a lot going on in Albany, ladies and gentlemen, as far as trying to get a budget passed and solidify. I was due 2 weeks ago, but, you know, Assemblyman Ed Flood is one of the hardest working guys I'll tell you about. Ever since his inception into Albany from a couple of years ago, he's done a great job representing the 4th District. And the Assemblyman, nice enough to join us here on this early Monday morning. Ed, it's great having you here. You know, when I read the bill and everything else, the Dismantling Student Anti-Semitism Act, I was mortified, absolutely mortified, because, you know, this is another example of just can't come together on common sense issues. And this was a common sense issue, if you can explain to the audience what it's all about. Ed Flood, ladies and gentlemen. Ed, go ahead. Thanks again.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for having me, Jay. Yeah, this is one of my colleagues, Ed Ra's bill. And essentially all this says is that, you know, it has to implement certain things in school, training, anti-Semitism awareness prevention, and that it would have to report these incidents to the New York State Department of Education. And then potentially colleges could lose state aid if these aren't implemented. And I mean, this seems like it would be, like you said, very common sense. But with the rise in anti-Semitic rhetoric on campuses, the demonstrations, the, you know, attacks on Jewish students, it's needed and necessary, unfortunately. And, you know, unfortunately, the majority killed this bill in the committee on Friday.
What's the pushback? You know, it's common sense. It's common sense because, you know, to rid yourself of this in general, but on the campuses. I mean, what is the overall beef here by Democrats not wanting to co-align with this common sense issue here?
I mean, at that point, Jay, you're asking me to put myself in their minds, which I don't know if I can really do. Because I don't, you know, to me, it doesn't make any sense, I guess. But we see this right now. I mean, we see it with our own, you know, president and the administration of trying to walk that line of the overall progressive side that are, you know, pushing back against this and playing, you know, I think it's playing politics. And it's unfortunate.
Maybe it's something we have to ask one of your colleagues, one of the elder statesmen, as far as the Jewish religion is concerned. And of course, Chuck Levine has been there forever. He is a regular guest on this program now. It's something I might have to ask him in the next few. Did he offer any type of verbal discussion on this at all, Ed Flood, Chuck Levine, or no?
I don't remember. This is a large committee. I'm not positive Chuck is on the higher ed committee. But I know, you know, Assemblyman Levine is a strong advocate for the Jewish people and the, you know, the state of Israel.
Sure.
But I can't tell you why they went to do this. But we also have there's also another bill out there by one of my colleagues that we discussed as well. There's Ari Brown, which would basically say, you know, if a student was found to be engaging in anti-Semitic behavior, he could potentially lose TAP funding.
Mm-hmm.
And again, but this is, you know, we got into a little bit in the committee, and essentially their rationale is we can't be stifling students' First Amendment rights on campuses, and that it's not just anti-Semitism on campuses. You know, there's all sorts of biases.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I had a conversation with a Cornell law professor last week on the show regarding that situation that happened up in Ithaca from a couple of months ago. You got charges now being assailed at the perpetrator. And listen, we all saw what happened to Claudine Gay in the inquiry as far as Capitol Hill was concerned, the former president of Harvard. I mean, this has been rampant. This is common sense. I mean, my goodness. I don't know how you get anything done, honestly, up there. I mean, if people cannot see, you know, this bill, folks, sought to address and prevent anti-Semitism in higher educational institutions across the state, ultimately would have created, by the way, a safer, key word here, folks, a safer environment for Jewish students across the state. Then I don't know how you come together on anything. I mean, it's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
It is, and this is something that I pointed out in the committee. I'm saying, you know, I'm Catholic. I don't feel unsafe going into you know public areas, and when a student is saying I feel unsafe on campus, and you're being told, well, everyone has there's bias everywhere. I'm like, not for anything. I don't hear chants of death to Christians on college campuses, but you do hear chants of death to Israel. And I mean, we see that, and unfortunately, this is just terrible. I guess the timing, but I mean, with the events that happened over the weekend, I just see more of this about to come out.
Yeah, no doubt. Ed Flood with us from the Assembly, representing that 4th District that includes parts of Suffolk, folks. The Brookhaven, Villages of Oldfield, Belterre, Port Jeff, Lake Grove, you know, in that region. You know, Ed, I'll tell you, and we talk about safety and everything else, it just kind of shows you how divided we are. You know, we know that we're divided as a nation on so many key issues, and it's a trickle down, I always say, the state, local as well. But I guess you can only come out with the knowledge from all of this that Dems seem content with doing anything to actually avoid addressing hate speech, criminal activity, kind of undermines the safety of Jewish students, the dignity across the state. It cannot be allowed. It just cannot be tolerated. I'll tell you that much.
No, absolutely not. And I'm dumbfounded about our lack of, or about our, you know, basically our inaction on the subject. It's easy to sit up here and, you know, denounce things, but then we don't come with anything. And I mean, this is similar to what's going on, you know, with everything, with all of safety throughout New York. I mean, just with our bail reform laws and the pushback against fixing anything of a clearly broken system. You know, when we have our speaker that came out and said that he doesn't believe punishment is a good deterrent to crime.
Yeah.
We're running from the back, I guess.
Yep, the words of Carl Hasty, is that unbelievable? He doesn't believe in deterrence as far as incarceration. Doesn't think it'll mean anything. Therefore, why even put harsh penalties on an individual? You know, you look at those two monsters who murdered Officer Jonathan Diller a couple of weeks ago on a Monday at around 6 o'clock in the evening in Far Rockaway, Queens. Doesn't believe in incarceration, even though those two guys combined at 35 prior arrests, 9 felonies, as far as the shooter was concerned, and Guy Rivera. I guess it's a lost cause. You know, you look at this budget, which was due 2 weeks ago today, actually, Ed.
Yep.
You look at housing, you look at education here. So I would surmise maybe that they're not going to put any bail, criminal justice reform of any kind in this thing. Or maybe I'm wrong. Hopefully I'm wrong. Give me a sense.
I'm hoping you're wrong too, but yeah, we have a governor that said that this is going to be the most transparent administration in the history of New York. But you know, it's all these things are just behind closed doors between you know the speakers and his staff and the majority leader of the Senate and her staff and the governor's staff, and largely everyone else is kept out of it until they have an agreement. So it's hard to say. It's not transparent at all. It's the budget, and they're right now bickering over policy. And it is my understanding, though, that the governor is at least trying to dig her heels in a little bit to get some of these reforms in for the criminal justice side of this. But again, there's no transparency in this.
Yeah. Ed, you still with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
I lost you there for a second, but we got the gist of it. So, you know, when I read this morning how, and we're talking with Ed Flood, folks, Assemblyman out of the 4th up in Albany, you know, they're looking at curbing some of the illegal cannabis shops. That's like prior one. You know, prior one should be about keeping people safe. You know, there's the anti-Semitism bill and everything else what we're talking about here. You know, trying to make sure that somebody is not out on the streets. How do you do that after a heinous act? How do you incorporate back into play from a judge's standpoint the word dangerousness so he can evaluate if one is deemed to be okay to go back to society? These are issues. These are top-flight issues. I personally don't care about cannabis shops. Retail theft, I do care about. Where do you think we stand on that, Ed Flood, as far as, you know, maybe increasing crimes, but I don't have a lot of confidence in that. Give me a sense there.
So we do have over in the in our codes committee, we took up the retail theft bill that was put in by one of my colleagues, Keith Brown, over from the Huntington area. And he had one that would essentially put a bill in that was similar to RICO, where when you had organized retail theft in terms of many people showing up at the same time, acting in in coordination with each other, but maybe only could be proved to have a couple $100 of theft, it would create a felony for it and almost charge them as a conspiracy. And they killed that bill on us, and they gave us the rationale that it's too harsh. But I do know the chair of that committee, Jeffrey Dinowitz, he does have a bill that addresses it. I don't think it went as far as Assemblyman Brown's did, but I do know to give him some credit, I do know he's trying to push it on his end. But we'll see what the legislature brings up. He did bring up the cannabis shops. And I agree, these pop-up shops, I don't love them anywhere. But let's be honest, this is not a criminal justice reform. This is we need to collect more tax dollars, and they're taking away from the legal ones that has been an absolute disaster of a rollout. And that's the only reason why they're really addressing it.
Yep, Ed Flood with us. Also, what about toll evasion? Ed, I know it's a problem. They're losing a lot of money. And listen, God forbid the MTA loses a penny. We all see what they're doing with congestion pricing and everything else. But what about toll evasion? Give me the latest there.
I mean, there's a really simple fix to that. Allow the police officers to do their jobs.
Ed, you know what it is? There's not enough police officers around because Albany's done such a great job embracing them, you know, with cutting funding and everything else. City Council responsible for that with the NYPD. You know, when you knock a billion off, this is what happens right now. So what does Kathy Hochul do? Well, she has to deploy the National Guard as far as our subways are concerned. So in essence, you know, there's not enough police. There's not enough recruits coming up the pipeline and a pipeline and everything else, Ed Flood.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I have a lot of family in law enforcement, and, they're morale is down, and they're basically told, they're handcuffed in their ability to do their job. Like, who wants to take this job right now? And it's unfortunate, but it's really easy if you allow police officers to police and stop mandating them and turning the criminals into the victims and the police into the perpetrators, which is what essentially this body does. And you look at any incidents where a police officer is in any type of confrontation that becomes physical, it's almost automatically assumed, from the legislative standpoint, is that the police overreacted and that the criminal is somehow the victim of that encounter. And it's not a way, it's a detriment to public safety. But, I mean, toll evasion would be really easy if you were, lock someone up after they've done it a couple of times, put them in jail for a while, but it's not bail eligible, and this is what happens. There's no consequences for bad acts in New York State right now. You essentially need to murder someone in order to be bail eligible.
No doubt. Ed, let me ask you this. Today's the 15th, 2 weeks out as far as the budget. I know extenders have been put in place. When do you think something will be solidified? And I'll say this. I don't think any Republican out there should vote anything in until you get reforms from a criminal justice standpoint in place. I think they should dig their heels in and battle it out. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think it's that important. But give me a sense of what you're thinking here.
So I have a feeling that maybe, we have to pass 10 budget bills. We passed the first one, which essentially just allows us to pay our debts. I do believe that this may not be marathon voting. I think certain things may come up. You know, this being an election year and us not having a budget, and there's a bunch of proposed cuts to education. I do believe that maybe an education bill comes up so that the school districts can properly do their budgets, which are due this week, I believe. But I agree, when we get to that portion of the budget, I mean, you know, I know our side in the Assembly and the Senate over on, you know, our colleagues on the Republican side will address this, and, you know, we will fight, and we will take the, you know, we will take it to the time limit of what we're allowed to argue. And we have a lot of people that make a lot of sense, and we will do our best to dig our heels in and fight back.
So, best guess, I mean, today's the 15th. Do we go through April without a budget? Or do you get a sense, let's say 2 weeks from today, which is the 29th, 4 weeks from the 1st of April, do you get a sense it'll be done by then in full?
I got to be honest, I'm just speculating here. I would hope so. As you remember, last year, I think we passed it on May 3rd into May 4th.
Yes,
so 34 days late.
Yep.
So I'm trying to hold out some optimism that we can get it done because, again, this is just a disservice to the state. I mean, we have so many entities that rely on state funding and to not know what they're doing, especially at this time of year. It's just a sign of the dysfunction in Albany. And it's, you know, this is what one party rule does. And when you have a lack of leadership at the top and you have everyone just fighting, it's just insane. And it's just,
I've been saying a long time, one party rule is deadly. It's proven to be that way. And I have said for a long time that Kathy Hochul is not running the state. It's Carl Hastie. Carl Hastie is running the state along with Andrew Stewart Cousins, the Senate Majority Leader. I mean, folks, let's cut down to it. They are the ones in power right now. They call the shots. Kathy Hochul has to bow down before them to negotiate and everything else to get some sort of a deal in place. I mean, let's face it. That's how much power Hastie has. When you have a guy that comes out and says, you know what, show me the proof. Listen, Ed, I'll show him the proof any day of the week if he wants to come on this program, which I've asked him to. He won't. If you see him, though, tell him I said hello, okay? And I'm still waiting. But in essence, absolutely, if he wants proof of how slapping massive reforms in place will deter crime, I will be happy. I have a list in front of me right here, okay? If he wants to go over the three strikes law in California, if he wants to go back to the days of Dinkins and Giuliani, I'll go over that with him as well. But it works. It used to mean something, that if you do something bad, you go to jail. And somebody would have to think twice in order to commit that bad act, Ed Flood. But that does not enter the mind of Carl Hastie. Final thought.
Well, absolutely. And I mean, this is one of the things they can throw out all the statistics they want. And we covered this in last year's budget proceedings of how DCJS, you know, the body of the entity in the state that puts together all the statistics and policy on our criminal justice reforms, the way they take criminal acts is insane. So when they talk about arrest, they don't actually count it as an arrest until someone has been fingerprinted. And about 85% of fingerprints at this point take place on your first appearance in court. And when people don't show up to court, they're not counted. So your numbers are skewed from the very beginning. And, you know, just like anything, you can fudge numbers by how you report certain things, but it's just common sense. Take a trip into the city. You see the crime in front of you. You see the open air drug markets. You see the graffiti in the streets. You see the garbage. You see people fear. Every day you wake up, someone's been attacked in the subway. And this is all things. And this is the blood that people are. It's on the hands of our legislature. These reforms have been absolutely disastrous, and we need to address them because you can say whatever you want. You can put whatever statistics out there that you want. People are able to see with their eyes what is going on. And it's unsafe and it's insanity.
And the only way, as I have said all along, Ed Flood, is to make that change at the ballot box. It's the only way it happens.
Absolutely. You know, elections matter.
And, yeah, you know, elections do matter, yeah. 100%.
I know we've put up a lot of very good candidates locally in Suffolk County. I know there are some in the Hudson region and upstate New York, and we have some people throughout the boroughs that are, you know, strong advocates for change. And I just hope that, you know, people can stop voting with their heart and start voting with their minds.
One party rule, folks. It never prevails as far as you, the resident, and changes have to be in play here. I mean, that's the only way to get the two words Ed just stated, two common words that we have used on this program over the years. That's common sense. We don't have any. We don't have any on the national scale, certainly the state scale. No fault of Ed and the crew. And, of course, locally here. Now, you finally have some semblance locally with the change of regime as far as the county executive. We need it in Albany. We need it desperately in Albany. I mean, really, it's the only hope, Ed. The only hope. It's great having you on. Keep us informed as far as any happenings, please. And we'll have you back on as far as trying to nail this budget down. 1 of 10 secure. Long way to go, but still lots of negotiations to take place. Great having you back on the show. We'll talk soon, all right?
Thank you for having me, Jay. Appreciate it.